Let us pray. Father, as I come before you tonight, Lord, I think of when Elijah was being taken up in a whirlwind, Lord, in a chariot. And Elijah asked Elijah what was the one thing that he wanted from God. And he asked that he would have a double portion of the Spirit. Lord, I ask tonight that you will give me the Spirit and power of Elijah. Lord, your word tells us, O God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Lord, I'm asking you to take us for a few moments out of time into eternity. Father, let us not be conscious of time, but let us be conscious of you. Lord, help us not to think about the things we want to do or haven't done, but Lord, I'm asking you right now to fill this place with your presence, O God. Your word says that when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire of God came from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And so I'm asking you to fill this place with your presence, with your power, with your person, God. And I'm asking you, Lord, to fill me, O God, empty me of me, Lord, and allow me to be able to preach this text as an oracle of God. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight and have already done. And I pray when we all leave here, we would be able to select Peter. It was good for us to be here. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I can't tell you all the different distractions I had this week trying to come up, to be here to preach this sermon. But if you have your Bibles, forgive me, I'm going to use an iPod. In that I left my Bible in somebody's car. I'm not sure if it's Sean's or Deborah's. But if you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. And the reason I wanted you to read chapter 6, even though I'm not speaking from 6, because I'm going to bring out some things from chapter 6, but I would encourage you to take time through this week and read chapter 5, 6, and 7 of 2 Kings, because they all are related and they all have to do with the same situation. All right, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 3. 2 Kings 7 from verse 3. And it reads, if you have it, you can say amen or whatever. Okay, it says, where is it? Verse 3. Well, I'm going to read from verse 4. Okay. It's cool. I got it. Okay. Okay, I got it. It says, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. I'm reading from the King James. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we shall enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here still, we shall die. Also now, therefore, come. And let us fall into the hands of the Assyrians, or the Syrians. If they save us, we'll be alive. If we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die. And they rose up in the twilight. I'll stop from there. Now, first thing I want you to notice in this whole text is their desperate situation. I know that wasn't in my notes, but the Lord gave it to me as I was sitting down there. So, I want you to see their situation. They said, we shall die four times in this little narrative. That means they were at a point in their lives where they had no hope. And I believe we were in that situation last week. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities. We had a lot of different things to make us discouraged, a lot of different things in our lives that we could have said, Lord, you know what? Why don't we sit here and die? You know, we had Ashley. We had my wife. We had Pastor Tom. We had Elma. We had all these different situations, and it was very easy to give up. But what I want you to see tonight, can I preach? All right. What I want you to see tonight is these four men were desperate. And sometimes, church, you have to get to the point with God where you are desperate. In fact, every time, you need to get desperate. All of us need to get to the point where we say, like Jacob, Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. You may say, that's a little arrogant. What do you mean you're going to tell the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me? That's how we need to be. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, who says, what things begin to me, those I counted loss for Christ, and I count all things lost for the excellency of the surpassing knowledge of Jesus my Lord. But Paul, you knew Jesus. You were caught up into the third heavens. What do you mean you still want to know him? Think about this, church. We got to get to the point where we get like Jesus, where the Bible says the zeal for his Father's house had consumed him. But friends, the only way those things can happen is we got to go through some things. Now I want you to see, first of all, their dilemma. Their dilemma. The first thing about this whole text is you had four leprous men. Now you guys are going to have to forgive me because I may not look at the Bible again. Okay? And that's why I wanted you to look at, I don't know how the Lord just, whatever. But I want you to see their dilemma. The first thing about these people is they were under God's wrath. The leprous men were under God's wrath. You say their leprosy? No. These leprous men came from Israel. That means they left the city. They said, if we sit here, we will die. If we go into the city, we will die. The first thing, they could not go into the city because the city was under the wrath of God. And God says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of the signs of a city being under God's wrath is that the children will eat their own children. You will have wicked kings. You can go through all of that. So they were under God's wrath. And next thing is they were under a wicked, faithless, godless king. You know, a lot of times we cry about President Obama and all of that. No, my friends. What I want you to also notice about this whole text, if you read chapter 5, 6, and 7, even though this king was so godless, he feared Elijah. And one thing that I always remember, the saint says, there was a saint who, the Queen of Scotland, feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. Now, this king was so ungodly. If you study this king was the son of the most wicked, ungodly woman, Jezebel. This was Jerem. And Jerem was so wicked that when a woman who had a son who, when she had eaten her two sons, and she came to approach him to say, Jerem, I need some help, he's like, what can I do? He was so wicked that when he was approached, when what happened in chapter 5 with Naaman, Naaman got afflicted with leprosy, and Naaman, who was a general of Ben-Hadad, who was the guy that marched around the city with his army, and they had just captured a maiden girl. And so when they captured this maiden girl, the maiden girl said to Naaman, hey, Naaman, you know what? Why don't you go? There's a prophet in Israel. If you go to Israel, he'll heal you of your leprosy. And then what happened is he went down to Israel, and he got there, and he was healed of his leprosy. And Naaman, after he was healed, because he dipped in the water of Jordan, and after he was healed, it was just God just poured out his spirit, and this man was healed and restored, and God was glorified. But what had happened prior to all of that happening, the King Ben-Hadad wrote a letter to King Jerem about Naaman and said to King, look, I'm going to send this guy down to you and heal him. And when Jerem got the letter to show how ungodly and faithless he was like, who am I to make this man alive? I want to show you how faithless this man was. I mean, I could have just said he was Jezebel's son, and that would be all you need to hear. Another thing is, not only were they under the wrath of God, not only were they dealing with a faithless, ungodly king, but they had just gone under war. Their city was just surrounded for probably a few years. And during this war, that's what caused the city to go into famine. And not only did they have a famine, the famine was so severe, we read in chapter 6, that women begin to eat their own children. I mean, I said to my wife, I can't see, my wife got up every night last night, almost every half hour. And I'm like, are you tired? She's like, no. I'm like, man, I don't know how she does this. The kind of love that God gives a mother for their children, you have to be in a desperate time for you to eat your own children. I want you to see their dilemma. And the last thing is, they were leprous. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, if you got a disease of leprosy, you were considered toxic. You were considered somebody that we had to avoid. We had to quarantine you. But also, you were going to die. There was no solution. There was no remedy. There was nothing to fix you up. You were going to die. So this was their dilemma. But you remember, in order for you to get desperate, you have to go through some dilemmas. But what I want you to notice the next thing is, not only their dilemma, but what's the next note I think? I think I have the, well, let me look at it. All right, not only do you see their dilemma, it says, there was a famine in the city, I read that, in the city, and we shall die there. Sorry about this. All right, we see their disease. Okay, the next thing we see is their discovery. All right, now, I don't have the text in front of me, but what I'm going to do is have all of you read it. I think it'll be verse 4, because what happened is, after they were sitting there leprous at the gate, and they said, you know, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we're going to die. If we do such and such, we're going to die. So they said, you know what, let us fall into the enemy's hand. That's another dilemma they had. But they got so desperate where they wanted to throw themselves in their enemy's hand, which was the Assyrians. But watch what happens when they make a decision. You see, if you make a decision with God, you're going to discover something. And you know, one of the things we always say, and we always say, God does not order your standing still. God does not order your sitting, but God orders your steps. And see, you have to get to the point where you have to make a decision. You have to be like Daniel, who said, I purposed in my heart, I will not defile myself with the king's food. You have to be like Jesus, who said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not, scattereth abroad. You got to be like Moses, who says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You got to be like Elijah, who says, how long holds you between God, between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. We got to get like that. And it'll make you to make a decision. And when they made a decision, they discovered something. But somebody read for me, verse. Go ahead for me, Sean. Keep going. All right. Now, you can stop there. Now, these men, again, were in a desperate situation. They did not know what was going on behind the scene. Okay? Now, I'm going to share something with you. And I always think radical. The question you need to ask yourself is, God caused them to hear horses and chariots, right? Now, where do you think those horses and chariots came from? I didn't get them from no commentary. What came to my mind is those were the same chariots and the same horses that when Elijah prayed and said, Lord, open their eyes. You see, my friend, if you help somebody in your church, in your home, or you yourself know how to pray, you can change situations and God will do things for you. The thing that was so unique is when these men, and these were ungodly, leprous men, I don't see any indication that they were men of faith, but when they rose up and went into the city, they discovered that the Lord does all his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can say to you, God, why are you doing such and such? They discovered that God is good and merciful unto all that call upon him. You see, my friend, if you decide to make a decision to follow God, you will discover that one day you were in your trespasses and sins, but the same Lord over all is rich in mercy unto all that call upon him. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Oh, my friend, you will discover this if you decide to follow Jesus. You will discover that his word is sweeter than anything, sweeter than the honeycomb. You will be like Job, who said, Lord, I esteem thy word more than my necessary food. Oh, my friend, if you make a decision to follow God, if you make a decision to do something that God tells you to do, you will discover that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask, think, or even imagine. And so they discovered that the Lord is God. Now, they didn't even recognize. They just knew when they got into that city that the Assyrians had fled from there. But I believe one of the reasons the Assyrians had fled because they had a godly man named Elijah who had understood that he saw a man like Elijah, and he saw Elijah, and he remembered Elijah, and Elijah stood before the king Ahab and said, "There shall be no rain except at my word." My friend, if you grow up under some godly counsel or a godly parent or a godly influence that influences and impacts your life, you will turn the world upside down for the Lord. And this is why Elijah had no problem asking God for a double portion, because he didn't know anything else. He was used to seeing God, Elijah, call down fire from heaven. If you get to the place where children, let me tell you something. You guys are blessed. You are in the most glorious time in history. Yes, we're in the most wicked time in history, but I believe we are in a time where we could see God's power move like never before. Because this time is more wicked than it's ever been. Paul said, "This know also in the last days, perilous, dangerous, difficult times will come. Men will become lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. The most scathing rebuke is that they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." That is the most insidious, wicked thing. Because for someone to say that they are godly and not walking according to God's law, they are giving a bad message to the world. And so, my friends, you are maybe in the most wicked time, but you see their discovery. When they got up and they made a decision, they begin to see that God had already caused the Assyrians to flee. But then the next thing we see is their delay. Now, if I remember correctly from the text, I believe it says that when they got into the city, they begin to eat and to drink. And then they took some food and took it from one tent to the other. And then they went back and did it again. Now, the historian Josephus says, and Josephus was believed to be a historian around the time of the Apostle Paul, or maybe after our Lord. Josephus says that these guys did this four times. Now, friends, what are you delaying? Because they delayed in telling someone what God had done for them. They had become so preoccupied with what the blessings they had just gotten, that they forgot about all those people that were under the wrath of God, that were living under a faithless, wicked king, who was being, the city was being ravaged and besieged by the Assyrians. They forgot, but friends, what are we forgetting? Are we forgetting that men are under the wrath of God? Are we forgetting that men are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked? Are we forgetting that there is none righteous, no, not one? Are we forgetting that the Bible says that the dead, that those that are in trespasses and sins, they cannot see. That's why Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. They cannot hear. That's why Jesus says, you cannot hear my words, because you're not one of my sheep. They don't have a will to serve God. Their will is not free. They are slaves to sin. Are we forgetting that these people are perishing? Oh, my friend, these men were under God's wrath. But friends, there is a worse wrath. And Jesus says, or Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We cannot delay. We cannot become preoccupied with this world and what this world has to offer. These men became preoccupied. Yes, they had eaten and they were in a desperate situation, but God had taken care of them now. And they could go now and tell someone. But the next thing we find, what's the next point? The Lord's decree. The next thing we find is the Lord's decree. Now, when they went out, when they left the city, the next thing they did is they went and told the king. Now you guys remember, we read the story of how Elijah in chapter 7 verse 1 had told the king, no matter what was going on, I don't care how situations look. And friends, if you have people who are people of faith, encourage them. Because people of faith will believe when no one else can believe. And even though it's a gift, we need it. And Elijah refused to not believe God. He had seen God do too much. So it was impossible. When they said to Elijah, this can't happen, Elijah says, you got to be kidding. And Elijah believed God. And I believe it could be said to him, as it was said, of Abraham. It was credited to him for righteousness. But look at the Lord's decree. Somebody read for me chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Now, if you read the rest of the story, God is so awesome that when all of this happened, the people were so excited after the lepers returned that the king, Jerem, who wasn't really wise, decided to put one man in front of a gate, which I don't think makes sense at all. And these were people who were starving, who hadn't eaten in days, and the scripture says that they trampled on that man. But it was also decreed because Elijah said it. My friend, you believe you could decree something and it happened? I'm not talking about Benny Hinn and T.D. Jakes and all of that foolishness. I'm talking about if you have a relationship with God, you can see God glorified. I had situations in my own life. I tell my wife, if she knew me before I really met her, she would not have married me because I was really crazy. And I saw two instances in my life where God had me tell somebody that they were going to die. And they died. That stuff does not just happen in the Old Testament. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But God had decreed through the prophet Elijah that they would get to a point one day later where things would so change that the whole recession, everything would be gone, and everything would be turned around. Now, how do how does this apply to us? Well, again, we need to get to a point where we make a decision. Where we get to the point where we say, Lord, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or, like Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, what is he building it on? Us. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. We are living stones. So he's building it with us. But how is he going to build it if we're not available to be yielded vessels? To be vessels where God could say, Lord, you know what? Okay, so what if my wife is having a baby? So what if this is happening? Lord, I am concerned about those things, but I prefer to spend my time praying about other things and you take care of the rest. What if we got like that? Where we got like George Mueller, who didn't even pray for his concerns. He was so preoccupied with the needs of other people. What if we got to the point where we get like Paul, who says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Not just mom and pop down the street or my sister Sue and so-and-so, but Israel. Lord, America. My covenant God. So we got to begin to make a decision. We got to believe God for greater things. But the next thing is when we make that decision, we cannot delay in making that decision. Yes, we have a dilemma and we have our trials. But friends, if you make a decision to do something for God, you have less time to even, you wouldn't even think about your trials. Especially if you make a decision to do something for God and God does a miracle and he always does. We just have to be open to see it. And one of the things that I always think about, I pray about everything. You see, the secret of praying is praying in secret. If somebody says, I'm not going to go into that. But I've had people that come up to me and say, Lord, Troy, thank you for this prayer. Thank you so-and-so for praying for me. And they don't understand the amount of time I spent praying for them prior to the time when I actually prayed for them. We look at Jesus and we see Jesus and he goes and raised Lazarus from the dead and we don't recognize that he probably spent all night the day before. Let me share something for you. I'm getting in trouble right now. Watch this. I'm going to get in trouble right now. Watch this. Now think of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus, during the days of his life, offered up strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him. Save him from what? Well, Jesus, wait a minute. You have all power. What are you asking God to save you from? The text says Jesus prayed to be saved from death. Now you try to reconcile that with your theology. But wait a minute, Jesus. You are the one that says, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take my body up again. Shouldn't this tell us, saints, that God, who does all these things, provide means? It tells us that. And so we cannot delay, and we need to do what we can. Like John Wesley, who says, do all the good you can, to all the people you can, by all the means you can, and all the ways you can, and all the times you can, as long as you ever can. We got to do what we can. And like I told you, if you get so focused on other people, then you will discover some things. And you will discover, like we all discovered this week, how God healed Pastor Tom, and how God allowed Adrian to have a baby in 2 hours or less. For many, Lord, please, I don't want this to sound proud. But many of you may think that this is such a great thing. I'm like, Lord, I want to see more. I don't want to just read about this in the book of Acts. I want to live it. And you might say, that's crazy. Well, some people get excited over Justin Bieber and basketball and foolishness. Why can't we get on fire for Jesus? And say like John Wesley, when somebody came to him and say, John Wesley, how is it that people are keep getting saved under your ministry? John Wesley says, I don't know. The only thing I know is I get on fire and people come and watch me burn. Oh, friends, if we get on fire for God, people will come and watch us burn up for Jesus. You don't have to advertise a fire. We would have to break down the walls of people be coming in here so fast. You think of Jesus, his ministry was growing so rapidly, he had so much of the fire of his Father upon his life that he would send people away. He would say, look, this crowd is getting too big. You know what? Let me make it more difficult. I tell you what, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. And the Bible says many of them no more walk with him. That's how we have to be, friends. Jesus says, he that abides in him hath to walk even as he walked. Before you ask it too much, were you kidding? I can't walk like Jesus. Well, Jesus was not powerful because he was God. He was powerful because he was anointed with the Spirit of God. Acts 10 and 28, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. God told Joshua, he says, no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. For as I was with Moses. Wait a minute. Hold on. You're telling me, Lord, that if you could be with Joshua under an old covenant and you told him you would be like Moses, you can't be with me like that? Friends, we got to believe God for greater. I'm not here to beat us up, but encourage us to believe God for greater. And the last thing we see is God's decree. And if we just continue to persevere and be faithful to God, we will see all the things that God decreed come to pass. They may not come in the way we want, but we will see him glorified. And so that's basically it. I pray that you were blessed, and I'll ask you to really study out those texts. I honestly had 10 points, and I could do another message, if the Lord permits, from those same four lepers. But let us pray. Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord, we pray that you will continue to encourage us and provoke us to live more faithfully. Lord, we thank you for these leprous men and their desperate situation. We thank you that, Lord, we thank you for their dilemma because it caused them to do something desperate that they would not have done if everything was going well. Lord, we thank you that even though they delayed, they got up and they discovered your glory and power. Lord, we thank you for men like Elijah who made the decision, Elijah, that he was going to follow Jesus no matter what. And because of that, you use that one man along with Elijah to turn Israel and Samaria and the surrounding nations upside down. Lord, we pray that you will continue to use this church, continue to encourage all of us to be more faithful and on fire for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.